It's always a little dangerous when a pastor changes his sermon at 4:30 in the morning. Never quite sure what's going to happen. I do. I know what's going to happen. Because I believe that God placed something very simple just that I wanted to share with you this morning in light of Dad going home. Because it's in these times that we, I think our vision, our thinking needs to come into a much sharper focus. And we have that opportunity. As a matter of fact, if you come back to the memorial service, you'll probably hear a little bit more about this. But I just felt that I wanted to share with you the fact that this, that time is not our own. Time is not ours. A couple of verses that I felt like God took me to, and they're very familiar. Jeremiah 1:5 says this. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Now, that's part of Jeremiah's call, to be a prophet. And yet those words resonate with each and every one of us. God knew us before we were born. He had a plan for you before you were born. Knew us. And then Ecclesiastes 3, the first 8 verses, says this. There's a time for everything. A season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, a time to gather them. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, a time to give up. A time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Both of these verses have to do with the sovereignty of God. Now you see that word, and you hear that word often when we talk about God. The word sovereignty means supreme power, or controlling influence. The word sovereign is used in the Bible almost 300 times, most of them having to do with an attribute of God. Now, once again, just like we talked about jealousy the other week, where we had to know the difference between jealousy of man and jealousy of God, how it's the same word but two very different meanings. When you talk about sovereign in the sense of man, it's different than the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of man is about controlling people. When we think of sovereign, we think of kings. Don't have many kings around anymore. Of course, Europe has the kings and the queens. They don't suffer a whole lot as kings and queens. Of course, you've probably all seen the wedding and the birth of the baby, the new princess, Charlotte Elizabeth Diana. I am thoroughly embarrassed that I know that, but that's the name of the girl, and that's in the right order. I blame my wife. We don't have kings in this country. That's why we started this country, was to get away from the kings, from the headship of just being able to do whatever they wanted to do. So the sovereign rule of a man is about the rules that they make. The sovereign rule of God is not about controlling. It's not about holding down. It's about love. It's about freedom within that love that he gives us. That's the sovereignty of God. And within that sovereignty is time. Now, we think we own time. We think we do. We don't. All we were able to do was determine ways to designate it, to track it, to keep an eye on what it is. But, of course, time rules our lives. Nobody goes anywhere without a watch. And if you don't have a watch, you've got a phone with a clock on it. I mean, these clocks do everything. Mine makes pancakes. I love it. It's a great watch. Great clock. But we're ruled by time, and yet time is not ours. We don't have time in our hands. God has time in his hands. And only God knows the things of time in our lives. Only he knows that. And when a life comes to an end, like Dad's did this morning, my question is, what should be foremost in our minds? And I felt like God pressed on me four things that I think should be present in our thinking. when times like this come. Because it isn't just about today. It isn't just about Dad's life ending this morning. It's about what now continues beyond that. And the first thing I think that should come in our minds is gratitude. When God removes the time of a person's life, and for the last several weeks we have watched Dad, and as the breathing became more and more labored and more difficult, we would many times look at each other and just say, how in the world is he hanging on? What's God waiting for? We actually asked that question many times. What's God waiting for? Now, I figured Dad was just being stubborn. Because Dad, my father-in-law is a stubborn man. He told him he couldn't do something, he was going to do it. But God's time was what we were waiting on. Because God holds time. But my thinking should be one of gratitude. Why? For the time that God gave us with him. That's what I'm grateful for. I had Dad in my life for 7 years. Not very long when you look at the time span. I knew who he was. I've known who Ed Swope was for 20-some years. But he was in my life. I was in his for the last 7 years. I'm grateful for that time with him. And we should be grateful for the time that God gives us with one another. The second thing then is that we should be rejoicing. Now that may sound a little bit strange because certainly when someone dies, the first thing we do is we cry. It's emotional and that's exactly what it should be. Because we're mourning the loss of them no longer in our lives, but then we are rejoicing because we know that my father-in-law, a brother, a sister, has been promoted, that their bodies have been made brand new. The word promises that. That our bodies are brand new. All kinds of speculation about that. How old do you think we'll be in heaven? I don't think age really matters a whole lot in heaven. Doesn't need to. Why? Because time is no longer a factor when we get to heaven. Everything changes when we're there. But I'm rejoicing with the fact that Dad is now at peace. And not just physically, but his mind knows all things now. The Bible tells us that in this time we see things through a glass darkly. You've seen that verse in the scripture? We see through a glass darkly, but one day we will see things as they are. In other words, we're going to have full, clear vision of the way things are. You know what we're going to be? We're going to be just like God created us in the very beginning. That's what we're going to be. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, we're going to get a chance to see what that was like. To be walking in fellowship with him. Third thing I do then is I want to take comfort in these times. I'm taking comfort. All Dad's earthly troubles are done. There's comfort in that for us that remain to know that he's at peace. And the last thing then is that I want to begin to think more about my family and my friends. Because it's in these times when someone's life is taken away from us, no matter how long we knew them, that I want to try as best I can to remember to treasure every moment I have with the people in my life. Because, folks, we don't know when the moment comes. You say, well, Dad was 83 years old. He was very sick. He was wasting away. It was obvious. It's not always obvious. God's time may be up for any one of us at any moment. Now you say, well, boy, thanks, Pastor Dave. I appreciate the encouragement this morning. But that's the reality of the life that we live. God doesn't promise us a set amount of time. He says, this is what you get. You don't know when it's done. I don't want to waste one moment of that. And so as I am thinking of times of gratitude because of my life with Dad, as I'm rejoicing, as I'm taking comfort, as I'm thinking about my family and friends, I have resolved myself anew because it happens every time I come to this place that I am not going to let one moment be robbed of my life with those that I love by the trivial things of life that just don't matter. And we spend so much time focused on those things that just don't matter. Can I encourage you this morning to put aside pride, to put aside jealousy, to put aside anger, frustration, aggravation, put aside history, put aside wrongs that have been done. Because when the life is over, there is no more, at least here. And I don't want to waste any of that. I hugged my wife many times over the last 7 or 8 hours. Not because she was sobbing uncontrollably, but because I was just reminded, I want you with me. I want to treasure this moment with you. And so I want to encourage you to be grateful for one another. Be grateful. Tell the people in your life how much you appreciate them. You say, Pastor Dave, I don't always feel like I appreciate that person in my life. Tell them anyway. Because I can guarantee you that sometimes you don't feel, they probably feel that way too sometimes. But it isn't about being appreciated. It isn't about what you do or don't do. It's about the fact that God has blessed us with one another in each other's lives. I want to rejoice in the relationships that God has blessed me with. I want to rejoice in those things. And God's going to bring new relationships to us. He's going to take some away from time to time. He's going to bring other new ones to us. And every single one of those, He is sovereignly bringing to me in order that I can learn to grow, that I can speak into this person's life so they can speak into mine, so that we can grow and learn from one another. But not if I'm not watching for those things to come. I want to be looking, saying, God, bring these people into my life. I want to rejoice with them. I want to take time to be a comfort to someone when they need it. Just as they comfort me, I want to be a comfort to someone else. I want to speak words of encouragement. I don't want to be that person that comes up and the first thing out of my mouth is how bad I'm doing. I don't want to be that person. That's what I love about what Denise has been doing. I think I told you, in the hospital, those first several days that she was there, she was praying for other people. That's what being a Christian is. That's it. On the rubber on the road, that's what it means to be a Christian. It isn't coming to church. It isn't saying all the nice things, singing the song, raising your hand, reading the Bible. Are those things vital? Yes, they are. Being a Christian means I demonstrate God's love. I show Him everywhere I go. And then the last one is just simply this. We need to value one another. Value. What does it mean to value? It means to hold something precious. It means to guard it. It means to protect it. It means to love it sometimes. And as you're leaving this morning, I want to encourage you to be mindful of that with the people you come in contact with. Let it begin in your home. Let it begin at home. Tell your wife, tell your husband, tell your child, tell your grandchildren, tell your neighbor. Tell the guy working at the giant food store behind the cash register, man, I appreciate you. Thanks for a good job. Those are the things that make impact in people's lives. Because when God says our time is done, it's done. We don't get another opportunity to say those things here. I don't want to miss one chance to do that. I'm going to be calling both of my sons later today just to tell them I love them. Talked to them last week. I'm going to call them again. Love you guys. Just want you to know I love you. We can never do that too much. Why? Because we're loving people? No, because He first loved us. That's why. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God, that You are a God of love. I thank You, Father, that in these times, You're reaching out, You're speaking to us, You're ministering to us. I thank You, Father, that in these times, we can come before You and You will give us rest. You'll give us peace. You'll give us, Father, the things that we need. Father, I thank You that each and every life in this room is of such importance, of such value. First and foremost, Father, You love each and every one of us. You died. You sent Your Son to die for us. Father, I firmly believe that if we were the only person on earth, each of us individually, You still would have come. Because that's how much You love us. Father, I pray that each and every person in this room, that we would come to value, God, the people that You've given us in our lives. Father, we have so much to be grateful for. First and foremost, our salvation. Father, You love us. We don't earn it. We haven't earned. We can't deserve it. We're none of these things, God. It's a gift. You give it to us freely. So, Father, would You forgive us when we complain? Forgive us, Father, when we grumble. Forgive us, Father, when we speak unkindly, especially to those people that mean the most to us. Forgive us, Father, when we turn our eyes away from You and put them on ourselves. Father, I thank You that You're patient with us. I thank You, God, that Your mercy extends beyond what we can possibly imagine. That where sin is great and greater, Your grace is greater still. And Father, I pray that as we leave this place today, that You will continue to minister to us. that you will show us and give us opportunities to be a light in people's dark places. God, there are so many hurting people walking around us every single day. And they wear the masks so well. And God, as we look forward to even talking about that next week, Lord, I know you wanted us to leave this place today impressed again with how important the relationships are that you've given us. And we thank you for them. I thank you, God, for my husband. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children, for my grandchildren. I thank you for my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. I thank you, Father, for my mom and for my dad. Thank you, Father, for all of those that you have put into our lives. I thank you for my brother, for my sister, for my niece, for my nephew, for my cousins, for my neighbors. Thank you, God. And now, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each of us, that everywhere we go, everything that we do, every word that we say would reflect you, so that people will know that you are a God of love, not because I tell them, but because I show it to them. I ask all of these things in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.